Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Gee, I can't imagine what we're going to talk about. Let's get caught up on the headlines. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
Results are in for some races. But the brouhaha in Pinal was the big story yesterday.
We waited about an hour, and then a gentleman pulled up in an official Pinal County vehicle. Then about a minute later, the election official came outside and made an announcement that the ballots have arrived. They have about 100 ballots.
Isn't the old adage, prepare for the worst, hope for the best?
Yeah, and so here's what happened years ago here in Maricopa County. A lot of people may not have been here at the time, but we had a disaster in one of our midterm elections. And it was, or maybe it wasn't a midterm, maybe it was a presidential primary. It was, I think, because Bernie Sanders was on the ballot for the Democrats. And I waited for 3 hours to vote. It wasn't handled well. Maricopa was the only county that didn't have enough polling places, and it cost the county recorder her job. And she had been in the job for over 30 years, but had been there decades. And it cost her job because voters were so upset. Well, then you take now election integrity in 2020 and the mess that happened there. And now Pinal County had early warnings because they made mistakes with their ballots in the early ballots that got mailed out. They had to fix that fiasco. So they were on notice that they already had problems. To have problems on election day is a complete and utter failure. I don't know the election officials in Pinal County, and I don't know if they're the only ones to blame. But there will be accountability because the people are paying attention to elections, and if this happens when you've already been warned, someone is going to lose their job either by leaving, being pushed out, or they're going to be elected, or they'll be unelected. They'll put somebody else in the office.
Former Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill went on MSNBC yesterday and made quite the statement on Republican stance on abortion.
But most Missourians, most Kansans, most Americans want rape victims to be able to terminate a pregnancy. They don't want dog-sniffing women at airports to see if they're traveling to have an abortion.
Dogs that sniff women in the airport. I didn't even think that was possible.
I didn't either. I don't... Oh, no.
That's kind of impressive if a dog can do that.
When you look at Kansas, when you look at what Kansas did, she's right to the extent that the Kansans voted to make sure that at some level that there will be some abortions that remain legal. There's no doubt there. But the idea that overreach of, again, everybody, you want to get in someone's business with dog sniffing. I mean, come on. That's rhetoric. But to a certain extent, what she said is playing out in Kansas. And we're going to find out how Arizona feels because we've got our general election coming up, and there's going to be a big difference in some of the races. You are listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at this time to catch you up on the headlines.
In a leaked video, Pennsylvania Senate candidate can be heard making an interesting claim a few years ago.
And this is a statistical fact. Immigrants commit crime at a far lower rate than native born. Sanctuary cities is another policy that I very much support. Sanctuary cities, again, statistically, makes everybody safer, makes everybody better.
So it's kind of hard to hear, but immigrants commit far less crime, and sanctuary cities make people safer.
You know, I guess it's all in where you and how you see things. And if that's the defense you want to go with, then go ahead. I think the majority of Americans see it completely differently. We think our laws should be respected. Many of us, myself included, think that we should revamp our immigration system. But there is a great difference between border security and immigration laws, number one. And number two, a sanctuary city is necessary in your mind because they are breaking the law, and you want to give them a city that is a safe haven from enforcement of those laws. So you're in favor of protecting people from certain laws, but not other people. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
An elementary school principal in Minnesota can be seen in a video promoting a book. She's super excited to be available.
I also read Jack, Not Jackie by Erica Silverman. Phenomenal read. So if you're a K-1, 2, 3 even, it's a really good read. And I really enjoyed that. And I'm excited it'll be on our shelves in the media center this fall.
She's promoting K through second graders to read Jack, Not Jackie, but it's a book about a little girl and her younger sister wanting to be called Jack. I don't see how that's appropriate.
Well, that's the issue here is, why are we sexualizing young children? Why are we talking about gender identity and things with young children? And I don't want to get too far down this road, but how many of us had sisters? I didn't, but I had close friends. How many of us hung out with girls when we were young that were tomboys? How many girls play Little League baseball? Are we going to tell them that they are not really girls or they don't want to be girls? Then they grow up to be supermodels. They grow up when they get older, or the other way around. I just look at this and I think, why are we talking about sexuality with kids at K through second grade? Why does this principal feel it necessary? What political motivation motivates a principal to sexualize and introduce a sexual topic to a K through second grader? That, to me, that is what, that's where the problem lies there. And I think there's a lot of parents that are saying we should treat everybody, I'm one of them, treat everybody equally. We should not be discriminating against people, but we shouldn't be promoting sexuality to anybody else's children, period. All right, that's Did You Hear This for another day.